Hello and welcome to the Cambridge Ukrainian Studies podcast, featuring discussions about Ukrainian culture and society with students, scholars, and artists around the world. I'm Rory Finnan, lecturer in Ukrainian Studies at Cambridge. In this podcast, a discussion with writer, journalist, and linguist Svetlana Perkalo on contemporary Ukrainian youth slang.
Slang in Ukrainian is interesting, I think, for the same reasons as the Ukrainian literary language itself is interesting, because we can see it being born and changing very rapidly.
You're paging through a recent book by one of Ukraine's talented contemporary writers, say Serhiy Zhadan's Ethiopia, or Ethiopia, published by Folio Press in 2009, and you come upon this couplet, for example. В країні стагнація і мудацтво, лібералізм і продавжне лівацтво. Now, if you're a new student of Ukrainian, you turn to a trusted standard dictionary. But mudatstvo and lievatstvo, they're nowhere to be found because they're slang. Mudatstvo may be loosely translated as idiocy from mudak, or dullard, and lievatstvo, political leftism, from lievak, a leftist. So in the country, there's stagnation and idiocy, liberalism, and mercenary leftism. Zhadan makes creative use of Ukrainian slang, which was a subject of a recent presentation here at Cambridge by Svetlana Perkalo. Svetlana Perkalo is not only one of Ukraine's most talented and exciting contemporary writers, but she's also an accomplished journalist, translator, and linguist. She's the author of the novels Zelena Margarita, Green Margarita, Не думай про червоне, Don't Think About Red, and the essay collection Кухня Егоїста, The Egoist Kitchen, among other works. In 1998, Svetlana published Перший словник українського молодіжного сленгу, the first dictionary of Ukrainian youth slang, which immediately became an authoritative resource for scholars and students in Ukraine and beyond. Svetlana Perkalo, welcome to the Cambridge Ukrainian Studies podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. And sorry again for sounding like a chain-smoking criminal, which is very appropriate for a conversation about youth slang.
Yeah, thanks for playing the part today, Svetlana. Now, we all have a general sense of what slang is, but maybe it might be useful for us to clarify our terms a bit.
Well, slang in Ukraine is a new term, relatively new term. Historically, we used to talk about jargons and argot. Argot is something that we still talk about in historical context, as in lirniki, tradesmen of 19th century, that kind of thing. And jargon we still refer to as a criminal jargon or professional jargons. But slang is a more universal term that encompasses all of those. A complex of words and expressions and sometimes even phonetical deviations that a group of people shares, and therefore it allows these people to feel both a part of the group and different from the others. So it serves a social function. Also, it allows us to express ourselves more precisely, to add some emotional dimension, to widen the vocabulary of exclamations, as it were. And also it lets us use euphemisms for things that we don't want to call by their proper names, which, of course, in Ukrainian everybody knows, even though they might tell you they don't. But in polite company, we might refer to body parts or bodily functions by euphemism rather than calling them that. So slang basically is everything that's not a part of norm. It's not a part of what in Ukraine we call a literary language. Mm-hmm. Everything that's not a part of that we call non-literary language. Now we also have to distinguish between slang and invective or obscene words. There are not many of them, and well, there may be five roots and the words that come from those roots. Those words would not be allowed on television or radio or in print, even today. Some of them that might be hinted at, but they are not allowed. So basically, you instinctively know that if a word is absolutely not allowed in a public speech, that's an obscenity in Ukrainian. Because in English, sometimes the difference is blurred because everybody says whatever they want these days. It's just a difference. Sometimes you can say a word at midnight, but not at midday. But in Ukraine, and in Russia for that matter, they're all very strictly forbidden. But slang is allowed, so we can use it. Well, sometimes it's scorned at or frowned upon. Many Ukrainian linguists are still trying to make the case that Ukrainian language doesn't need any slang because it's a beautiful, spiritual language. It's a language of Shevchenko and so on, so we don't need that lowly slang. But I think it's a very necessary thing for the language. It's a healthy thing.
So is slang the same as colloquial speech?
I think colloquial speech is probably common for all social groups, and colloquial speech would be more commonly probably found in a dictionary, and slang changes. Colloquialisms probably stay the same over longer, and slang, especially youth slang, needs to change, otherwise it ceases to unite the youth group, because I still speak in the same kind of slang that I did 10 years ago, so that clearly marks me as an older person. I don't speak like the 20-year-olds, so our slang is different. But colloquialisms, they're pretty much common for everybody. They're just a lower stylistic device.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, saying to a group of adult friends, "Privit хлопці," хлопці meaning guys or lads in this case, that would be a colloquialism. Whereas saying "Privit чуваки," that would be slang. What does chuvaki mean, by the way?
Well, it is a castrated ram, castrated male sheep.
So why would anyone want to refer to their friend as a castrated male sheep?
Well, who knows? See, that's a mystery of slang. I have always wondered that myself. But as you know, guys in Ukraine often refer to each other as kaban, which is a boar. And why would you want to call your friend that as well is a mystery. But taking the mickey out of your friends is also a very nice, friendly thing. Well, friendly can be unfriendly, but it's another thing that unites a group. You can yes, you can laugh at your friends, and you can if your friend doesn't mind being called a castrated ram, then he's a friend indeed. But nobody knows the origin. The very few people know that it means that.
Svetlana, you compiled the first dictionary of Ukrainian youth slang back in 1998. How did you go about it? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think I first got interested in it because I worked for a music festival called Perlini Sezono, as a press officer, I guess it was called. And I heard musicians use slang a lot, and I was interested in it because it sounded to me as though some words were different in Ukrainian than they were in the Russian slang, because we had Russian musicians as well. So I thought there is some grounds for research, and I went back to my university, Kyiv Taras Shevchenko University, and I asked around, and turned out that nobody had done it before, and I thought this is strange, but this is a good opportunity. So over the summer of 1997, with the financial help of one Ivan Lozovy, who's now a Ukrainian citizen, but then he was an American, and $100 just happened to be in his pocket that he founded this project with, I went to 5 cities, which was all I could do really, but it was enough to collect 2,700 words and expressions. Basically, I talked to people, people that I knew or people that were suggested to me by somebody, and everybody was very happy to share their slang because nobody had been asked that before either. So everybody felt that they were a treasure trove of these slang words, of these wonderful, funny expressions that somebody finally wanted to write down. And I did. Then I spent a couple of months defining the words. Sometimes I would also record the example on the spot, but sometimes I would make it up because I knew how to use the word. I probably used all of them or most of them in some context at one point in my life. I don't anymore because I know that it's outdated. It was 1997 slang. Now if I start using it in Ukraine, I sound like my grandmother. But at the time it was how people spoke. So that's how I did it. In Lviv and Ivano-Frankivsk, of course, I collected the most slang, the biggest number of words, because the Ukrainian-speaking groups form a sort of society there. Whereas in Kyiv, Poltava, and Chernihiv, three other cities I went, Ukrainian-speaking youth groups were sort of isolated from each other. Sometimes they would interconnect. Say there would be skinheads, national democrats, and linguists or poets. Sometimes they would have something in common, but most of the time not, as you can imagine. So sometimes slang that was created in one group would travel to another, but sometimes it would not. And in the east and in the center, the Ukrainian slang is much more in tune with the Russian slang. And in the west, I think it's more original, and it's got some Polish words as well. Bzdons, for example, means a small person from Polish, and you would never hear it in the center or in the east. That's how I did it. It was a piece of work, let me tell you. It was not very easy, and there are still a couple of things that I would like to have improved before publishing it. But, you know, at some point we published it, and although it's not very academic in that I didn't supply it with examples from popular media, press, or fiction, it's still pretty useful for researchers, and quite a few people ask my permission or my blessing to analyze it, and I'm of course very happy to for them to do so. There are several more dictionaries now. none of which actually adheres to this standard, to see the word used in the media or in fiction a certain number of times. People put in a dictionary stuff that they see once, and that's enough. Mm. That's something that still needs to be addressed, because even the academics, the serious researchers, still do that. And therefore, we don't really have a dictionary that everybody's happy with. But there are some interesting works and interesting attempts. There is now a dictionary of jargon by Lesya Stavitska, a dictionary of obscenities and sexualisms by Lesya Stavitska as well. There is a dictionary of musician slang by Oksana Tsatsura. And there is another dictionary of youth slang published 2 years ago in Kharkiv as well. So there are quite a few dictionaries to choose from.
Where is your dictionary accessible?
You have to know me, and you have to ask me to send it to you via email, and I will. And I have this morning, after this lecture, somebody asked me to send them a copy. It was published by a couple of publishers. Zeleny Pes Publishers published my short novel, Zelena Margarita, together with this dictionary. Mm-hmm. So that's how it became accessible to the wider audience. But it's been out of print for years, and the Ukrainian publishing industry is in dire straits because of the financial crisis, so I don't really see anybody publishing it anymore. Besides, you know, it's archaic now. It's 13 years
right.
old.
But the Stavitska dictionaries are published by Kritika Press, is that right?
Yes, yeah. And they're available to purchase, and basically all of the stuff that I collected is included there, so
right.
Only with an added bonus of examples from some writers, me included. I feel like I've my input into non-literary speech in Ukrainian is significant.
Profound.
Probably like to have influenced Ukrainian literary speech as well, but we'll see.
I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about why slang in the Ukrainian case is so interesting.
Slang in Ukrainian is interesting, I think, for the same reasons as the Ukrainian literary language itself is interesting, because it's happening very actively in front of our eyes. We can see it being born and changing very rapidly, because it doesn't have such a big history as slang in other languages. For example, in Russian, criminal jargon, it's 100 years old, sometimes more than 100 years old. Some of it does come from Ukraine, by the way, from the then Russian territories of Ukraine. And comes from Ukrainian language and Yiddish and French and everything. So a lot of it does come from Ukraine, but it was developed and established in Russia. And in Ukrainian, we can observe how words that existed for decades or were just created a couple of years ago in the West travel to the East and vice versa. In the West, slang is influenced by the Polish language, by dialects. In the East as well, dialects and the Russian language. And we can see how the young Ukrainian-speaking community is being born in front of our eyes. And that's where slang operates, because if you don't have that, then it's just separate examples of social groups who might not come together and create one universal slang. And I think it's happening now, especially with the internet. Slang travels very fast from east to west through Kyiv, and we see computer slang being generated and changing very fast and being more or less common for the whole Ukraine. So instead of being several regions or territories, it is in slang terms, it is becoming a sort of one community. That's very interesting to see.
Now, you mentioned the influence of Polish, Russian, but there's been, of course, a great influx of cultural products from the West, and you have a lot of slang words that come from English. Could you give us a few examples?
Well, English is probably one of the biggest, definitely one of the biggest sources, especially in the computer slang and in the corporate slang. Well, what springs to mind is usany. It's a very commonly used word. Usany word. So it means used. It means used as in secondhand clothes or whatever. So that's one. Or you see how it changes according to the rules of Ukrainian morphology. I know you like this word, vinduzyatniki. Vinduzyatnik is somebody who prefers Windows to Mac, and this person, according to some people, is to be despised. So, and to be called vinduzyatnik with a scorn in their voice. And in corporate language, English words are just lifted and transplanted without even much change. Team building, for example. I have a colleague who this word drives up the wall, because he's trying to translate everything into Ukrainian, and you can't do that because everybody just uses words in English. Bajik is another word that existed for maybe 20 years.
Meaning badge?
Badge, yeah, just a name badge. It was transformed slightly, so Pajic.
Right, and then there's parente instead of bachki for parents, and father as boss. And as you say, these words really mark the boundaries of a particular community, because to understand them, you have to know English.
That is why I still call it slang rather than new words, because it excludes a large proportion of the population, and it shows the speakers that they are part of one group that understands English. So it's they define themselves as a separate kind of cool group who understands this word. But not speaking English has not been a big obstacle for many people. The Ukrainian politicians in particular like using words the meaning of which they don't really understand. And one of my favorite phrases is prozoro transparentny. Well, transparentny is prozoro, is transparent, clear, but it is redundant. But people started using it, and several high-profile politicians used prozoro transparentny for a while, and just drove me mad. School children say teacherka, to mean a teacher, instead of chitelka. So that's a little funny word, and it also has this English influence. Then the hippie slang was a big influence. Not many people use it now, but I remember it being in an active use. Shuzi, or shoes, and people still say shoes, but words like gerla or herla, you don't hear that much more. But at some point when hippie movement was very popular in Ukraine, which was much later than in the West, maybe 15 years ago, you would hear, you know, you would see long-haired hippies calling each other herla and saying boyfriend, and saying bag, meaning a bag, or saying piduna ask, for example, which means I'm going to go around begging for money.
Piduna ask.
Ask. Ask became a noun. Askate was a verb. Pidu po askaju, na askaju sobi. Obviously, large groups of slang are in the communities of drug users, alcohol users. A huge number of slang words refer to things like alcohol and drugs, because it's both taboo and very exciting. I don't know about drugs myself personally, but I've participated in a number of drinking sessions in Ukrainian speaking communities, especially Ukrainian writers like a drink or two, and it usually generates a feeling of excitement and sort of something forbidden. So, and that's a very fertile ground for slang. Taboo and excitement, you always want to come up with new words, especially if you're a writer, and you know, creating words is something that you are well placed to do.
Now, you yourself are an extremely exciting author, contemporary Ukrainian writer. How important has slang been to you in the creative process?
As an author, I see slang and obscenities as well as a kind of a pepper in borscht. You know, you've got to, or garlic, let's say, you've got to have some. But if your borscht consists of pepper, then you can't eat it. So there's got to be a certain amount, like a spice. But if there's too much, then it's either unreadable or the reader's attention is drawn towards this stuff, because it is distracting. It is meant to create excitement, to draw your attention towards it. So if that's too much of that, if there's too much of that, then it's not a very good thing. But sometimes you just want to put this embellishment on in a sense. And obviously in direct speech, if characters are the sort of characters that would normally use slang, and also surzhik, I'm not shy to use that either. Mm-hmm. And surzhik being a mixture of Ukrainian and Russian, that I consider to be Ukrainian with Russian influence. Some people think it's equal mixture. Some people think it's a Russian with bastardized Ukrainian words. I think the phonetics is mostly Ukrainian, and the grammar is mostly Ukrainian. So in my view, you know, that's Ukrainian. But many people in Ukraine writing, even direct speech, kind of correct the direct speech, even in newspapers, in everything, in course records. I think that's wrong. I mean, the huge numbers of people use colloquialisms, surzhik slang, and if you want to create a believable character, you've got to, if you're hopnik or your skinhead or your criminal speaks a literary Ukrainian language, then you know you failed as an author. Basically, you've got to know these words because people do use them.
Svetlana Perkova, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for your interest.
This podcast is part of a larger public program of seminars, exhibitions, and festivals produced by Cambridge Ukrainian Studies, an initiative of the Department of Slavonic Studies at the University of Cambridge. Find out more of what we do at www.cambridgeukrainianstudies.org.uk, or find us on Facebook. Music provided by our friends, the Ukrainians.